Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
John, is the salary cap just made up? I mean, how does a team like the Rams now afford Ramsey, Goff, Aaron Donald? The Steelers are going to have to move heaven and earth to make the salary cap work. And here's a team with a bunch of guys making $20 million a year. Explain that to me.
Well, really what it comes down to is that you have to look at things differently right now because of the pandemic and what's going on with the contracts. Because what you're seeing is deals like this aren't really what they appear to be. Yeah, because what everybody does is you look at the new money that's added to the contract. But also, in this case, and I know the Steelers like to do this, you look at the whole contract, because with the cap being down maybe $20 million next year, most of the players are taking undervalue in the first 2 years of the deal. We watched that with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes signed a 10-year extension at $45 million in new money, but he also kept the 2 years that he was making the same amount. And so what it turned out to be was 39.8. And, of course, now everybody in the league recognizes that. And so what ends up happening is that, you got Deshaun Watson. He takes $39 million, recognizing it really isn't 45, because you have to look at the whole contract. Like, so in the case of Ramsey, my guess is that what you're looking at is that it says like it's 20.5, but it's going to be more like 18. You know, maybe seven, because 17.5 went to Darius White over in Buffalo. And then you look at the DeAndre Hopkins deal. The Hopkins deal comes out at 27 and change on a 54.25 for 2 years. But in reality, with the 5 years on the contract, it's about 18.8. So, you know, the numbers look bigger than it is, because what you have to do is get over the hump for 2021 and maybe 2022 and backload everything. So in reality, in these cases, particularly in deals like this that aren't just straight four-year deals, that you have to look at the back end of it because it's backloaded.
John, the Steelers tend not to hang on to players for that last contract. They're well known for maybe letting occasionally a guy walk when he still has something left in the tank. So against that backdrop, how surprised, if at all, are you that a Cam Hayward deal got done, and what's your reaction to it?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I think that they want to try to keep as much of this defense together, recognizing there's going to be some cap issues coming up next year for them, particularly with Ben Roethlisberger with a $42.5 million cap number. And so they have to do some juggling. And I would imagine, the contract that Cam did is going to be somewhat similar to what I was mentioning, as far as, okay, he probably doesn't get much more money in this year and next year. I mean, he'll get the signing bonus and everything else, because what you want to try to do is find a way to keep that 2021 cap number down. But to do that, you have to kind of backload the contract. So I'm going to be curious to see if that's how they did it. With the deal just getting done, it hasn't surfaced yet. But no, I'm not surprised, because you know that it's going to be tough to keep all these linebackers together. But also, you want to keep somebody who's been so good for so long in there. And yeah, it is rare for the Steelers, particularly for a non-quarterback, to get that third contract. But hey, Cam Hayward's worth it.
So, John, do you think we'll get to salary cap hell with the Steelers in the next year or two, or do you think they'll be able to avoid it?
They're going to have to make some hits. I mean, it's going to be hard because, they're going to find a way eventually to take care of T.J. Watt. I mean, yep. They got to take care of him because he's so good. And so they'll do something there, but it's going to cost them a couple linebackers. I mean, you figure that Joe Hayden is going to have a tough time, being on the roster next year. That's why they need good seasons out of Steve Nelson and find a way to get a cornerback. They also have to figure out a way to get Micah Fitzpatrick done as some kind of contract. But there's going to be some casualty. There's no question about it, because if it's going to be $175 million and maybe a little bit more than that, you have to take some hits. And that's just the nature of things. But one thing is, they're very good at figuring out. And the one thing that's also good is that, getting, like last year with Minka and also getting Bush, they've got some good young players on the team.
John, how close are we to knowing what that number for the cap is going to be next year? We know what that floor is. You just mentioned it. But how much of, how much above 175 it goes is determined by, something we can't predict right now, fans being allowed in stands the rest of the season or later this season. Like, how in flux is that number still?
Yeah, it'll be more than 175. We just don't know how much more. And that determination, even though it won't be official, will be when they assemble in Dallas, if they have to be virtual or not, for what's usually the meeting where they go over the cap and kind of predict the cap for next year. Now, what's going to be interesting is that you have to take the five or six teams that are going to have a quarter attendance and see how much that generates as far as revenue, because at the moment, I mean, you got only that few teams out there. But then also, if you start to get the Steelers maybe getting some home fans in there in October and others, that'll get the revenue generated. The one that will really push things up is not going to happen now that college football is having somewhat of a season, because they can't violate the antitrust laws and try to go directly against college football and have Saturday games. So that's not going to happen. But right now, the way it looks, you figure it's got to be, if you're going to be a cap person or you're going to be a general manager, you have to think the 175 and then hope it maybe gets to 180.
Talking to John Clayton here on 93.7 The Fan. All right, John, I want a win-loss record for the Steelers in 2020 and why.
I'm going 12-4.
Wow.
And the reason I'm going 12-4, is that too high?
Let's go, John. No, I'm excited to hear why you're bullish on them.
Well, because they got the second easiest schedule in football. They have more games against young quarterbacks than even the Baltimore Ravens do. They don't have to play Kansas City, where Baltimore does. And what you're looking at is that they should do very well in the division. Again, if you can go 4-2 in the division, that's not going to be bad, or 5-1 if you can beat Cleveland two times, because again, that's going to be Ben going against a young quarterback in Baker Mayfield. Then you look at some easier type divisions in the non-division schedule. That's going to help. And so we're really, you look at this as maybe being a 10 or an 11 win team, particularly with the improvement on defense. I think you add a couple because of the schedule. The schedule is in favor of them, and in some ways, it's even better, because if they can get the split with Baltimore, you take away the two Baltimore games, they have a 398 schedule. That's about as good as you can find. And so, figuring that the defense is a top five defense, they're not going to give up more than about 18 or 19 points a game. And you figure with Ben back in the lineup, he can get 25 to 27 points, maybe not the 30 that he thinks he's going to get. But if you have, if you're giving, scoring more than 25 and you're giving up less than 20, which is very possible, then you're talking about 11 or 12 wins.
John, in a one game scenario, say the Steelers are as good as advertised right there by you. Are they the team in the AFC, if it comes down to it in the playoffs, that is best equipped on paper to take down Kansas City, if it should come to that?
You can possibly say it. I guess where the game's going to be played could be important, if there's going to be more fans in the stands or anything of that nature. But I think that they're built very well, because they're, I'd say, better in the secondary than the Ravens. I think the Ravens right now are good, but they're also young in that front seven, particularly at linebacker. But it's a good Ravens defense. They got a better pass rush with their two additions, particularly getting Calais Campbell. But I think it's a pretty good matchup right now to see which is the better defense of the two. But I think that you can maybe see that this team, the Steelers, might be better matched up against Kansas City, just because, again, there's more better coverage, particularly at safety. And now Baltimore doesn't have Earl Thomas. They cut him. And so, I think that maybe you can make the argument that they may match up better against Baltimore.
Where would you put them, in the division standings, and how far do you have them going in the playoffs, John?
there's such a big separation right now between, say, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Kansas City. You know, certainly I think right now you give the edge, particularly with the defense being top five, than Indianapolis or Tennessee, you know, because they're going to be in there. And there's a big gap right now between Pittsburgh and Cleveland, in my opinion. Again, I think Cleveland's going to make the playoffs. But what I look at is that, really you take Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Kansas City, and then you kind of take a breath and say, okay, what about the rest? Mm-hmm. And that's where I think, things can favor them, because, I would clearly say that Pittsburgh's in the top three seeds in the AFC.
So you're saying AFC championship game? Is that what I'm getting could here, John?
Yeah, could be.
Okay.
I mean, the question is going to be, because you figure the way Kansas City is built, the way they are, that they're going to probably end up with the number one seed. So now it's a matter of how Pittsburgh can do against Baltimore to see if they can get past Baltimore and get to that championship game.
Any concerns for the Steelers Monday night against the Giants? What would you look at in that matchup?
Just injuries more than anything else, because the Giants come in, they've got problems on the offensive line, they've got a young quarterback, their defense has problems, I mean, particularly in the secondary. They don't have DeAndre Baker because he ended up getting cut. They're taking Logan Ryan's off the street and trying to get him out there. But I think the only concern is just being overconfident, and I can't imagine that Mike Tomlin is going to allow that to happen.
John Clayton, check him out. Our 93.7 The Fan NFL Insider. His predictions are in the Washington Post today. John, thank you so much.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.